Hello, and welcome to the Honest Hour podcast. I am Christina Mazurek, your host, and I believe that to be honest is to try to convince someone of your discovered truth of something. Your honesty is your work, your story, your relationships, and your worldview. The Honest Hour podcast is a collective voice of global influences. It is through honest conversations out loud that we can rise together through a more diverse understanding of the world. This is your honesty. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the Honest Hour. I am so excited to have you here today. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I am doing so well.
That's amazing. That's good considering our circumstances right now. For anyone who is listening in the future and we are no longer in lockdown, we can be grateful. But for now, just to record the date, it is the 22nd of April, and we are all currently in lockdown, which is why I'm so excited to finally have some interaction with someone, especially someone like yourself, who I have, I will admit, been a fan for a long time. I'm sort of like an Insta switcher changer, if that makes any sense. I know you can understand your brand has changed over time, but a few years ago, I created an account called Sweat the Blues, where I was really seeking fitness opportunities to improve my mental health in early motherhood because I dealt with some postnatal stuff. And when I had that account, I found yours. So this was, I think, I don't know when you started, but can you tell us your story about starting your account, Fitness Girl ZA, and yeah, how did your journey start and where are you today? Just give us a bit of an intro.
Sure. So yeah, I mean, it's just to go back to your earlier intro, it is quite a crazy time with lockdown. But what is really nice about lockdown is that we kind of have a little bit more time on our hands to do things that we have always, you know, been wanting to do. So like this podcast, for example, it's really great to come on as a guest. And I'm actually really happy that I've had some time in my day to finally do this with you. So that's great. And then just, yeah, a little bit about Fitness Girl and sort of where it started, a little bit of background for those listeners who don't actually know who I am. My name is Tracy Lee. I am a full-time attorney. That is actually my day job. I am a divorce attorney in Cape Town. So that is my sort of my 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 career. And then every single other waking hour is devoted to my blog or to my whatever you want to call it, my Instagram account, which is primarily a health, wellness, fitness, and body positive blog. And the journey really began quite differently, actually, in 2016. I had reached a stage in my life where, you know, I had yo-yoed my entire life. I'm pretty sure there are so many women out there that can relate to the same story. There was nothing special about what I was doing. I was just, I guess, relaying the story that so many of us, you know, have become accustomed to. And I decided that I was going to start an Instagram account to document my weight loss transformation. And I thought that it would be a really nifty way or a really nifty tool to basically be accountable. So it would act as like a commitment device, essentially. And it was pretty much, I think there was definitely no intention of it sort of getting to where it is today. The intention really was just to, like I said, use it as a way to track this transformation. So, you know, obviously the months went on. I started the account in January of 2016, but only really sort of taking the weight loss journey seriously towards August of that year. And I linked up with a coach through that time and we lost a lot of weight together. I think my total weight loss over the period of the 14 months was about 33 kilos. So it was very weight focused. My goal at that stage in life was I wanted to be this success story of, you know, this obese girl who made it to become a bikini athlete. Like that was the goal. And that was what initially inspired and hooked a lot of women to join the journey and to follow me, because it was a very inspiring story of a woman who yo-yoed her entire life to one day, you know, being told that genetics, I didn't have good genetics. I was never the dancer. I was never like the prototype of what these bikini athletes are. And I thought, well, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to show you that your circumstance, no matter who you are, you can do anything if you put your mind to it and if you have a big enough dream. So, I mean, that still resonates throughout my account even today, but things have changed slightly, I think, since then. But yeah, that's pretty much where it began. But like I said, things have evolved since then.
That is incredible, and it is inspiring. And like I said, I've been following your journey for a very long time now. You mentioned you started in January of 2016. I want to say that was around the time I started that little account of mine, which no longer exists, What to Lose. And I was so inspired by your journey because, like you said, it was for the underdog. It was for the person who was struggling with fitness. It was the message that inspired all of us. You can be and do anything you put your mind to. But like you said, the narrative has changed now. And it's funny because in my own personal journey of fitness and health and in wellness in general, the narrative has also changed very much. Can you tell us? First of all, you are a major influencer now. Okay, so you started long ago just as a personal account to hold yourself accountable, right? And so other people can see the transformation. When it's visual, it's real, and it's more motivating, and it holds you accountable to your goals, right? To this day now, and you've been very real the entire time, so humbling, so graceful, so honest, so relatable, because we are imperfect. We're all struggling with our goals. Your whole narrative has completely changed, and you've carried along with you. You have over 22,000 followers on Instagram to this day. You are a global body positive fitness personality, right? So can you tell us a little bit more about that transition and change from like the measurements and the goals based on what you look like and what other people are seeing in terms of the transformation to like the body positive image? Is it internal? Can you explain it to us?
Yeah, no, of course. And I think as fascinating as it may have been, or interesting as it may have been for sort of my followers to follow, I think it's been even more eye-opening and interesting for me myself. I think that the real shift came probably, I would say, towards the middle of 2018. That's when I started, I'd reached this sort of goal weight. I was feeling, I was fit, and I'd done what I'd sort of set out to do, but I still felt empty. Like I still felt that I hadn't quite achieved sort of what I had set out to achieve. It was a very, very weird situation that I'd found myself in. And obviously, like you said, I've always been very real about the journey, and I ended up doing an advert or a campaign with quite a big local brand. And I met someone on set during this time. And this person is, her name's Thiklianze. She is probably the leading body positive influencer, I'd say, in South Africa, and definitely on the global playing field. She was the first person, or the first time I really was introduced to this sort of this notion of what body positivity and sort of what that was, and it was just a very like cathartic moment for me, because there was this girl, larger than life in every sense of the word, so much confidence. I remember being pretty much, I'd lost all the weight by that stage, so I was, I'd been cast as sort of the fitness role for this advert, which was already in itself strange for me, because it just was a bit of an identity crisis as well. Normally I'm the bigger girl. And she was playing that role of the bigger girl, the body positive activist. And I remember coming down the stairs, and she just said, "Wow, look at you, girl. Like, you look like fire." And I remember I was so self-conscious that day. And it was such a weird sort of like cathartic moment, because here I am, everyone has cheered me on. I've reached this 33 kilo milestone. I should have been feeling like on top of the world, but I was so nervous to get in front of the camera that day. And she sat on that couch and she looked at me and she was like, "Girl, you fire, you are fire." And I was like, that's so interesting, because it's exactly the opposite of what I'm feeling right now. And then we got chatting, and that's basically in a nutshell where I was influenced by another influencer, essentially. And I started doing my research and I started reading up. And that's when I discovered another idol of mine, Ashley Graham. She was the world's first plus size supermodel, absolutely amazing woman, just incredible. And started getting influenced by these really amazing, these these women who were basically just, you know, telling the world that, you know, it doesn't matter what size or shape or who you are, you can love your body and you can love yourself, you know, no matter what season your body is in. And that was such a such a strange notion for me. Like, it was so unfamiliar, and it really challenged me. And I think that was really, like, that really started this transition from being this person who the entire life sort of chased a number on the scale so that I could feel worthy, to this crazy internal transformation. So internal transformation, not the physical, mental transformation, that I could give myself permission to love my body no matter what season. And I think that was just really, like I said, an eye-opening moment for me. And I think it's that, because of that internal transformation and that mental shift, it started shifting the way I was posting online and talking about certain things online. And, you know, eventually I started talking more about body positivity than I was about weight loss goals or how to lose weight or what to eat or, you know, what the next craze was. I started to move away from that focus on that purely, like, the physical, sort of like that physicality makes me happy, to what, how I felt internally. And that shift, I think, was pretty gradual, throughout 2018 to 2019. And I think, I must just say that as well, that during this time, I was also fighting again my own personal, weight demons, because I did end up gaining back pretty much what I had lost. And that was very difficult. And obviously, you know, you can't hide on social media. And I'm not one of those people that will just post old photos to sort of keep this a secret. Like, I've always been very open and real with my followers. But at the same time, even though there was some, you know, obviously, like, mentally there was some struggle there, you know, of, you know, feeling a bit defeated that, you know, I'd gained it back, especially gaining it back in the public eye. I mean, that's difficult in itself. But I remained vulnerable and I remained open and honest about this. But at the same time, as hard as that was, it wasn't that hard, because I'd already begun this journey of loving myself from within. So that sort of weight gain that maybe would have, like, devastated me in the past, I was so much more accepting of it. And even now, whilst I struggle to still get back on the wagon or whatever you want to say, I mean, I've been very open about that too. It's also okay, because I love my body now and I loved my body then. Whereas the starting point of my journey in 2016 was, I started from a place of hate. I hated what I looked like. I wanted to be a bikini athlete. I wanted to be on stage. And I couldn't stand seeing myself in the mirror. Now I put on, you know, a plus size dress and I think I look like fire. And that's not a like a vanity thing. It's just a huge transformation that's take place inside. I can still appreciate my body no matter what it looks like, because I've done the internal work now. So that when I can now truly focus, weight loss for me has now become, it's become the starting point for my weight loss journey now is from a place of health. It's not from a place of aesthetic, which is where it has always started throughout my entire life. So this body positive shift has actually allowed me to retrain my brain to be able to view weight loss in a sense of, it's about honoring my body as a temple and ensuring that it's functioning healthily and optimally. And if the very sort of virtue of body positivity that underlines it is self-love, then the very act of wanting to lose the weight now to ensure that I am functioning as healthily and as optimally as possible is the very act of self-love.
Wow. I have, like, I'm tingling, like, you know, I have shivers. I'm shivering with just, there's so much truth in what you're saying, and there's so much purpose in what you're doing. And I think there were so many keywords that you were talking about there that really resonate with your message. And just to hone in on those points there, you mentioned worthiness. I mean, did this shift happen globally because we have Brené Brown? I mean, I'm not even sure, but it is all about that, isn't it? It's about vulnerability and it's about worthiness. And it's about connecting through our honest stories of the internal work that's done. I mean, you started your fitness journey thinking, I'm going to love myself. I'm going to feel so good about myself. I will be happy when you reach your goals. And that's the whole concept of attachment, isn't it? And it doesn't even have to be religious or philosophical. It's just human experience. Is when we get to that point of understanding that I am enough. And when you get to that place of understanding, like you said, we all realize this in our lives eventually, and I myself have to learn the lesson over and over again sometimes, that when you stop acting like the things that are good for you are a punishment, you want to do them. When you say I am enough first, the good things follow. Like when you wake up feeling like you love your body and you're enough, you want to eat well. You want to move your body. And I notice in my body, I don't know if you feel the same way, but when we get into those ruts in our minds and when we have to do another shift, I listen to my body. I can feel it. I start to feel sick. I start to crave junk food. I start to want a second drink at night. I start to gossip. I mean, all the bad stuff, all the bad stuff. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually like, this is, you're worth more than this. This is not the light. This is the darkness. And what's going on right now? What lies are you telling yourself right now? Because this is not what you want to choose for yourself. And it's that internal shift that you were talking about, which brings me to our next point, the internal shift. I mean, this all comes down to mental health, right? So you mentioned on your Instagram account as well now, and I love that you changed your bio because we've all seen your shift happening in your captions. Now your bio says it all. And I saw typical Tracy. I love it so much. You were like, guys, I'm going to be honest. I finally changed my bio and it feels so freeing, which is true. We hold ourselves to our old voices. It's this identity crisis. And that's the art of vulnerability. You are in the arena, girlfriend, and people need to applaud you because you are shamelessly showing exactly who you are. And we need that because it gives us permission to do the same thing, right? But you've changed your bio. And in your bio, you also said you are a mental health warrior. And this has sort of been the theme of my podcast content that I'm planning during lockdown, right? This is my marathon training. My podcast channel. I am bringing on people that are talking about the things that are still in the darkness, mental health. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you mean when you say you are a mental health warrior? Because I still feel like there's a little bit of stigma when we say mental health.
Sure, no, absolutely. And all valid points. I 100% agree with everything that you've just said. I think just to give your listeners some background into the sort of the switcheroo with the bio, basically, you know, the bio was still very representative of very much weight loss focused. So a couple of your followers who may have been following me before the change, which I think happened last week, will have noticed that or would have sort of, I think, associated Fitness Girl with the locks. So when I say locks, I'm talking about padlocks. And what I had done was when I was tracking my transformation, I inserted padlocks, which basically acted as sort of goal weight indicators. And every time I would unlock, you know, the next level, whether that was 90 kilos, 80 kilos, 70 kilos, I would swap out the locked lock for an unlocked lock. So that became very synonymous with Fitness Girl and my brand. And a lot of other brands, companies would identify that. I mean, I actually had a press drop once where a lock was included in the drop. So it was very much had become sort of the DNA of Fitness Girl. And I, you know, it was being confronted with that every single day. And it kind of then would link into your question about mental health. And I noticed that, you know, my internal and my external were not aligned. And as someone that does suffer from anxiety, more generalized anxiety disorder, I was diagnosed with that in 2010. So I have been suffering with that for pretty much almost like a third of my life now. So, you know, when I was confronted with seeing these locks that were now locked again, since having obviously gained back the weight, it was a constant reminder of, you know, this anxiety to need to unlock it again and lose weight and keep up the image. And it just really wasn't doing well for me. I would get DMs, seemingly harmless DMs, you know, from people saying, oh, we can't wait to see you unlock the next lock, and all supportive. But what it was doing was it was eroding me to such a point that I felt so guilty because I just wasn't in a position to unlock those locks because I was struggling on the weight side, you know, as it was. But what it was doing was it was starting to now erode my mental health and starting to destabilize what the messages that I was wanting to send out about body positivity and self-love and, you know, loving yourself no matter what season you're in, and trying to shift this focus away from like losing weight as an indicator of your self-worth and value. So there was just this, it just was so long. It was, I mean, the change was necessary. It was probably about 6 months to a year overdue. I should have done it a very long time ago, but because I was so, my identity as a brand and as Fitness Girl was so tied up with those locks, you know, for lack of a better word, and the irony in it was that I felt so shackled, you know, to this bio, to this sort of trademark that I'd created for myself, so that when I actually did update it, and I was able to actually, you know, write things in that bio that was sort of showed more of a comprehensive overall view of of the message that I actually want to send out into the world, it was like those shackles had been broken. So it was a very, again, another cathartic moment, I think, for me in the journey. And then just then to answer your question with regards to the mental health warrior, I think it was something that I hadn't shared. I hadn't really shared much about mental health, about my journey with mental health for probably the first 2 years of Fitness Girl. And then what happened was I didn't have a career change, but things sort of, I left one job, I started a new job, and this, you know, was obviously a very anxiety, you know, provoking time for me. And that was towards the middle of 2018. And that's sort of when I started being, you know, I'm so vulnerable as it is. I felt like I wasn't sharing this part of my life, and I'd shared so much already. And I thought that, you know, I'd seen that in me being vulnerable and sharing, you know, just about the weight loss journey and things that had been happening, you know, and seen the sort of the takeaway and seen the response from my followers in that respect. I thought, well, you know, what would the response be if I shared a little bit about my anxiety journey and how things are going sort of in that facet of my life? And again, the response was overwhelming. In fact, probably more so overwhelming, because I think it's a lot more relatable. I think there are a lot more people facing anxiety today just because of the world that we currently find ourselves in, than anything I've ever like experienced, I think, in terms of sharing on my account. So it became something that I felt that, you know, I appreciated the position that I was in that, you know, I am someone that people, you know, have looked up to, and I appreciate that. And it's obviously it's a place of privilege. And I thought, well, you know, how would I feel if I was following somebody that I really looked up to and they openly shared about something that I could relate to and made them feel more human and normal? And that's ultimately why I decided that this was something that I needed to do. Because I needed people to understand that I'm just like everyone else. Like, I'm just like you, and I have my struggles, you know, just the same. Because I think it's so easy to put people on pedestals, and I didn't want people to do that for me. I wanted to continue to remain relevant and continue to remain, yeah, relevant in their lives and relatable to them. So I think sharing more about mental health has definitely been very rewarding for me, both rewarding for my mental health and I think for others. And it's just something that I want to continue talking about, because like you said earlier, there's so much stigma associated with mental health. But I think that, you know, times are finally shifting, and I've definitely seen, especially on Instagram, I've seen that there has been the shift that has taken place, and it's really great. The resources that are now available are also fantastic. So I try and share as many resources as possible as well. And I thought, you know, mental health warrior, I am a warrior, a warrior in the sense of a warrior, like I worry a lot. And I just thought it was quite a nice play on term, because I tend to worry about everything, but in that worry, I overcome it. And then I'm a warrior of my worries. So I thought it was just a cute little way to sort of like put it all together. So that's where the mental health warrior came from.
That's amazing. I love that. Is it actually spelled like warrior? Warrior.
Like a warrior, like a warrior who goes into battle.
Oh, okay. Yes, like a warrior.
So then, a warrior. Oh, if you're a warrior, yes. it would be an O. Yeah.
That is so clever. You are so intelligent, and you are so apt in everything that you're talking about with anxiety and with mental health. I know that a lot of our listeners today can definitely relate. I myself have suffered with anxiety a lot in life, and I'm very honest about that on this podcast and on my social media networks as well. And like you, I've battled with how much should I be sharing about this because of the stigma, which for me is defined as, I mean, I can make myself vulnerable, and of course there's people that are going to relate to it, but what about the people that will judge me? And with someone that has, as someone that has anxiety, like yourself, I really worry about what people think, and that's why it's so difficult to be very public in my life. But there's something that keeps me going. Is this something that you ever struggle with as well? Have you had people, you know, have you had haters? Have you been trolled? Have you had people be horrible or say nasty things that sort of like exacerbate your anxiety in a way? Or has your vulnerability been completely fulfilling?
I definitely think it's been far more fulfilling than it has been. I don't think I've received any negativity from sharing it, but that also is a testament to the community of women and men that do follow me. I've always said that I have such an incredible community of women who are who empower each other. It's sort of evident in comments, people basically supporting each other as well as myself, and so it's been really like I said, I'm very fortunate to have built such an incredible community. So, of course, there are, you know, hate mail that comes in, but it's very rare and it's generally not associated with the anxiety. But what I will say is that I haven't necessarily experienced any negative, anything negative online, but where I do get very nervous about talking about anxiety is obviously in the real world. So in terms of my job, I obviously work in an extremely high pressure field of work. There is no real time to be anxious. I'm a litigation attorney first and foremost, so that is really the cutthroat, the go. There's no time to really, you know, have a bad day. You've just got to be on it all the time. And I think sometimes where I get anxious is if I am having a bad day or my anxiety is out of control. Which can be exacerbated by the work. It's hard to seek support in the workplace because it's not really, I find that from that point of view, it can be a bit stigmatizing. You don't want to look weak in front of your colleagues or be perceived as weak, probably more rightly to say that. So I think that's where I feel challenged and I get anxious about being anxious, but I think certainly not online. I think online is where I can definitely speak more freely about it, and I can't say that I've ever received anything negative, which is truly amazing. Actually,
that is incredible, and you do radiate joy and this ability for people to relate to you because your message is so real and it is so positive. So you should applaud yourself for that. You have an amazing community of women, and I certainly have seen the love. I wanted to talk a bit more about the juggle of balancing your career with your personality brand. How do you manage the two, number one? And number two, what tips do you have for those who also deal with anxiety on how we can manage it mentally for ourselves as well?
Sure, yeah, no, it's it always has been... It's interesting. I always say that you make time for the things that matter the most. So, you know, life is always about juggling, you know, whether that's you have a newborn and suddenly you have to budget time in your day, quite a lot of time for a newborn, or if you're starting another job that's more demanding. I think that we as humans, we're very adaptable and we're able to adapt very easily to situations, which is great. And I think when I started fitness school, I don't think I intended it for it to become what it has become, but I slowly realized that if I was making, you know, a difference, and I needed to invest more time into it, which is what I did. But I had very, very strict rules and boundaries, right off the bat. You know, when it was work time and I was at work, it was strictly, you know, Tracy puts the lawyer hat on and that's what, where it stays. I would sometimes use my lunch breaks to onto emails or check in. But pretty much, when it was work hours, it was work hours. And when it was after hours, that was pretty much fitness school hours. So I've been quite good with that. It is, sometimes I feel like I might have, like I get a little bit of FOMO sometimes. Like I'm not sure if I have enough hours to dedicate the time that I want to building fitness school. I feel like I'm losing out on those weekday hours that maybe some of my other colleagues or influencers, have. So from that point of view, it sometimes feels a bit stressful. But otherwise, it's you know, it is a balancing act. And, you know, as long as you have boundaries, it's very doable. Like I said, I wear the one hat for the certain amount of the day, and then I wear the other hat on this, the other hours of the day. But yeah, I mean, it's been fine up until now. Yeah, I don't know if that answered your question. I think you might have had a second question there, but I can't quite remember what you said.
You did answer the question. The first part of the question was, how do you juggle your career as an attorney? And then the very separate life of being a media personality, essentially, for Motivation on Fitness, Health, and Mental Health for Women. And you answered it quite well. I think, I mean, geez, you sound incredible. You wear different hats. And I think the key word that you said that our audience can take away from it is boundaries. It's understanding that when you're at work, you're at work. And when you're online, you're online. And you understand your brand and your tone and your intention very well, the bottom line being honesty. So that answers the question for me. I'm sure it answers the question for our listeners. The other part of the question was maybe some more tangible tools and tips for handling anxiety in general. Do you have any answers for that part of the question?
Sure. I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience. I mean, it's always good to obviously be in therapy. If you are suffering from anxiety, I always recommend, you know, seeking the help of a professional. And I've always said that I'm not by any means at liberty to share any sort of mental health sort of therapy or advice, but I can share my personal experience, and I can share certain tips, like you said, that have helped me. So certain of those would definitely be breathing. And it sounds so simple, and it sounds like you're waiting for this like crazy answer, this like groundbreaking thing. But honestly, breathing techniques, that's the base. That's where you have to start. The minute I start feeling jittery and my hands are shaking and sweating and my heart starts racing, it's generally because I have racing thoughts. So what happens is I will think of something that makes me anxious, and then I will sit and I will obsess about it. So in order to cut that off and to bring the sort of physical sensations and the physical sort of, like the feeling of sweating hands and racing heart, is to try and slow my breathing, to get my breathing back to a normal rate. So I do that by envisioning sort of a balloon in my belly, and then when I breathe in, the balloon inflates as much as it can, and then when I breathe out, it deflates as much as it can. And I do that for 10 breaths, and then I hold on each breath for about 5 seconds, and then I release. And I find it's such a simple thing, but after 10 breaths, you already are more rational. You're able to think clearly because you now have more oxygen in your blood. So I really find, like, from a tip point of view, breathing techniques, learning how to breathe properly, learning how to breathe through an attack is something that has definitely saved me. And I mean, you can do this even if you just feel nervousness. You're about to go on stage, you're going to give a big talk, or you're going to do a presentation or an interview. Breathing is something that saves everyone. I mean, it's something that one of the first things I learned in therapy. The second thing is also to not catastrophize. So I find that what makes me really anxious is if I start thinking of all of the worst possible scenarios, and then I basically justify that going, well, I'm a realist, so I'm preparing for the worst, and this is a good thing. When actually, if I think about all the worst possible things, what I'm actually doing is I'm catastrophizing. So in an essence, even though my brain is going, no, you're doing good because you're being prepared, it's actually causing me severe anxiety, because those are all completely uncertain future events that may or may not, and likely will not, materialize. So I've tried to stop doing that. It's something that's kind of, for me, it's interesting. It's been like this, my body's response, it's been like a defense mechanism, but actually it makes me more anxious. So again, the catastrophizing is another thing to stay away from. Think about, you know, continue to think about what's present, bring yourself back to the present, you know, what's happening around you now, and then deal with that. And then, So that would be the second thing. And I think then the third thing, just one final tip, would be, I forgot. Sorry. I had it and then I completely just lost what I was going to say. But those are two of my most important ones. So not catastrophizing, and definitely focusing on breathing techniques. Those are definitely the top two. And then I think what I was going to say was, if you can foot exercise into your day, that always lowers your, I know it lowers my anxiety. So if you can get your body moving and get those endorphins flowing, it's the number one medicine, I think, to combat any form of panic disorder or anxiety. So I think that was what I was going to say. So I hope that's useful.
Those are very useful. I can really relate to them. Deep breathing, don't catastrophize. Those both go quite hand in hand, because like you said, when you start to focus on your breath, you prevent yourself from going down the rabbit holes in our mind. And anyone who suffers from anxiety will absolutely understand what you're talking about. And it might sound crazy to people who don't understand anxiety, but it's a very, very real thing. And the way I describe it is overthinking. And I am so guilty of doing this. And it is absolutely debilitating and destructive to just get stuck in our minds. And I do the same thing that you said, is I focus on my breath. And I often notice when I say focus on my breath, I realize I haven't had a good deep breath in a while. Like, I feel like I've been holding my breath. And it's funny that we do that to ourselves. And I think that's a conversation for another day. Like, why we do it. In my own personal experience, it's been deeply rooted in childhood trauma, but it's through awareness of these things that we become enlightened. But the tools and strategies you've suggested are incredible, and I think also so relevant to the time that we find ourselves in right now. Whether our listeners today are people who generally suffer from anxiety, like you or I, the fact of the matter is everyone right now suffering from more anxiety than they were a month ago, because the world has completely changed. And that whole concept of overthinking possible outcomes has become a reality for everyone. We are in a global pandemic. The economy has crashed. People have lost jobs. People are dying. The flights have closed. The world is in an unpredictable and unprecedented state. So whether you suffer from generalized anxiety or not, you're definitely more worried now than you were before. So what are your thoughts on all of this? What can we be doing at home? I mean, we mentioned the breathing and the trying not to over-catastrophize. But I mean, in terms of exercise, we know that that's a big one, and nutritional health. Like, what are your top tips and tangible suggestions for us? And just your thoughts in general on how to not overthink this pandemic. I mean, the news is going nuts. Let me know what your thoughts are on all of this.
Yeah, no, really, really good point. And I do think that it's quite interesting for those people that maybe have never suffered from anxiety before. I think it's actually very normal if those same people are now starting to feel the effects of, you know, of what this lockdown means. And I think it is having a huge effect on people's mental health globally. I think for me, I've been quite strict with myself in that there are definitely days where I sit in my pajamas all day, and like, that's okay. I think we're seeing so many people. I mean, I've seen this a lot on social media, a terrible meme that's gone around that's basically saying, you know, it says, you know, it's not that you didn't have time to do the things that you wanted to do. It's that you lack discipline. And it's just it's just completely wrong on so many levels. And it's basically this, you know, it's, I think I did a post on this recently, and it's just, this isn't a time to be opportunistic. You know, there's so many people suffering. I mean, it's not normal to be locked in your house for 5 weeks. I mean, that's an abnormal circumstance. So I think what we need to be focusing on now is just how to survive. And if that means getting up and writing a list of 5 things that you want to accomplish in that day, and literally if that it can be as small as repacking a shelf on your, you know, in your kitchen, or sorting through your cupboard and donating some clothes. You know, these are all things, especially if you're not working and right now and your company's closed. You know, these are things that, you know, you need to add structure basically into your day. And what I'm getting at is that you need to be able to create your own routine. Because if you aren't keeping yourself busy, you know, by doing, you know, maybe 5 small things each day, that is going to open yourself up to just sitting and sort of being consumed by your thoughts, and then consuming, you know, massive amounts of social media and fake news. the potential for fake, obviously for consuming fake news then would be higher. And obviously all of that can push you down a rabbit hole and completely spiral you out of control. So I think for me, what I've tried to do is at the base, I've tried to create, you know, 5 things that I'm going to accomplish each day. Whether that is, I have still been working up until this point, so I still have my working hours, but then I still set other things myself. Like I will make sure that I actually take a shower today. I will make sure that I wash my face. Don't skip the sort of those normal rituals that we never thought about. I mean, brushing our teeth, we never even thought about that. But that's become hard for a lot of people. The reality is that a lot of people are going to be, you know, waking up, staying in bed the whole day until it's time to go to sleep again. And I think that that's, it's understandable. But I do think that in order to just bring some sort of normalcy back into your life, like I said, is to create that list, whatever it may be. You can include exercise on that list, even if it's just 20 minutes a day. But on the flip side of that, and I spoke about this recently, is that it's also not putting so much pressure on ourselves to be able to, you know, complete all these tasks. You know, you are also human and you're allowed to feel. And it goes back to what I said initially when I answered this question, was that it's also okay to just take a day to sit in your pajamas all day. Like, that's also okay. And I think that we can't set parameters, I think, right now on, you know, what is good and what is bad. It's what works for you and what's going to keep you stable and what's going to keep you sort of anxiety free. And if it means that you need to take 2 or 3 days of the week to actually just do nothing, then that's absolutely fine. If you're the kind of person that needs to be preoccupied so you don't sit with your thoughts, then 100% you should be making a list and ticking off the tasks as you go, which is very therapeutic in itself. But it's really just about finding the balance for you. And again, it's your journey through COVID. It's, you know, like with any journey, it's what works for you. And your journey through COVID is going to look completely different to your neighbor's journey through COVID. So I hope that maybe shed some light on some of the things that I'm doing to occupy my mind and keep myself sane.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And it touches on the same conversation I had a couple of days ago with another person. And her suggestion for people was have a bit of a guide with lots of grace. And I think that's exactly what you just said now. Obviously, it's personality, it's circumstantially dependent. Some people are at home with kids, some people are at home and they still have to work and do remote conversations, and their internet is shoddy, or, you know, whatever it may be. Everyone is dealing with a different struggle right now. We can't generalize, but can I just say there was one thing that really, like, pissed me off, if I can be completely honest, the other day that went viral on the internet, and it was a Daily Mail article, and it was, you know, all the lockdown motivators get lost. And I realize in hindsight that there's different perspectives on lockdown motivators, and I don't know what you think about this, but I can understand how someone's motivational content can make another person feel pressurized. But in the same breath, can we also not honor and realize that some people's way of staying calm and not catastrophizing is by motivating themselves, is by having that list? And I'm not saying you have to be motivated by training for a marathon on your treadmill, but it could be that you're sharing healthy recipes with people. You are, for the first time ever, like you said, cleaning out your closet and putting the stack of things to donate to people. I mean, this is why we see so many people baking banana bread or banana bread. It's because, I mean, the process of getting those ingredients, mixing them together and creating a product is what's preventing us from losing our minds. And I'm sorry, but that needs to be applauded, not criticized. You know, that's just the narrative right now, is that everyone is experiencing COVID-19 differently, and we're all having our own COVID-19 journeys. So it's just like my 2 cents in response, in agreement and in addition to what you were saying there. But we've got to close up the conversation. So I wanted to ask, first of all, before we get to our rapid fire questions, in your fitness journey, have you come across some really good nutritional information? And do you have any just like very simple tips for us nutritionally? What staples should we have in our cupboard? it's, you know, this is a whole other conversation, but we're all confused by the macronutrient situation. Are we supposed to be avoiding carbohydrates or avoiding fats, or is it high protein, low carb, or high carb, low fat? Like, what's your, like, very quick advice in a nutshell on nutrition and staples?
Okay, quick advice would be to find a eating or a macro ratio that works for your body. So I know that's probably not the advice you want to hear, but I found that for me personally, my body responds to a diet that is higher in protein, has sort of a medium ratio of fats and lower carbs. But I also find that, you know, during some sort of weeks in the month, I might need a higher carb diet. You know, that maybe these kind of things are also cyclical. It goes with your menstrual cycle as well. There are weeks where I'm going to need to eat more to feel more satiated. Yeah. So I think it really depends on what works for you. I know some people absolutely thrive on having zero carbs, where some people literally cannot keep their eyes open if they have zero carbs in their diet. I think that carbs specifically have become sort of this like enemy, which they really shouldn't be. We need carbs in order for fuel. We need carbs for brain functionality and able to have a really good training session at the gym. It's a really good source of fuel. And like with every macro, there are, I dare to say, good and bad, but that's sort of how people have come to, you know, to sort of categorize them. Like for example, a good fat would be AVO. That would be, like, people turn that as a good fat. So I think with everything, it just is moderation. I personally think that cutting out any food group is not sustainable. I think that if you can get a really good balance of, you know, the food, of the different macros and the different food groups, I think that's really important. But like I said, again, it always just comes down to, you know, what works for your body and what your body responds to. So, you know, having, you know, weight loss goals are very, can look very different from eating sort of point of view. From a macro point of view, to a maintenance diet, or from a diet, you know, if you're wanting to gain muscle mass, you may need to consume more calories. So it just really, it really comes down to, I think, your goals and what you are wanting to achieve, and then again working with a professional to help you find a plan that's going to suit your body, your needs, and your lifestyle. Because remember, lifestyle is very important. There's no point, you know, being on an Olympic athlete diet if you are working at a desk for 8 hours a day. That's obviously not going to support your lifestyle at all. And it certainly won't facilitate your goals. So again, I think number one, don't demonize certain macros and don't demonize certain food groups. I think that there is a place for every single food group in our diet. That is why they exist. No food group is less worthy than the other. I think it really just is moderation. But if I had to give quick tips, I would say a lot of green leafy fruit and vegetables are a definite. If you're going to want to consume grains, I would stick with whole grains and seed loaves and that kind of thing, and possibly like brown rice over white rice. Although we all love white rice, and there's nothing against white rice either. And then fats, you know, all your good fats, your coconut oils and your avos and your nuts, those are great. And then obviously proteins, if you are a meat eater, then, nice white meat. I always try to stick to include more white meat than red meat in my diet, just because it makes me feel better. I find red meat makes me quite lethargic. Again, that's just how my body responds. And obviously, if you are a vegetarian or vegan, then obviously a lot of beans, legumes, quinoa, all of that good stuff. So those are all great things to have in the pantry. But yeah, I always say that fruit and veg, for me, are my number one. They're key. So always have a variety of fruit, I think, in your fridge. And definitely be adding in at least one or two veggies a day. And all great for antioxidants, vitamins, minerals. And again, just goes back to balance.
Okay, great. Yes, I can totally relate. 100%. Everyone must listen to their body and find the balance. Last but not least, some rapid fire questions, and then where we can all find you online. First rapid fire question is, if you could have one person in the world to come to dinner at your house, dead or alive, who would it be and why? It's obviously so you can converse with them. Like, who would it be and why?
Oh, just off the top of my head, I mentioned her earlier, probably Ashley Graham. There's so many people that I'd want to have at dinner, but if I had to think right now, it would probably be Ashley, just so I can pick her brain and talk about, you know, how she's just, yeah, just she's such a powerhouse, and just pick her brain on, you know, what body positivity means and, you know, just her. Yeah, I don't know.
Amazing, amazing. Top vacation destination in the world, whoosh, where would you go? I mean, that you haven't been, that you would love to go to if you could.
The Maldives.
Amazing.
Maldives are beautiful. I just love a good beach, and I just love the island life. So right now, if you could give me a ticket anywhere in the world, I would go to Maldives.
Awesome. We're lucky to live where we do then, Cape Town. Can't wait to go to the beaches one day, which brings me to the last rapid fire question. What is the first thing you are going to do post lockdown?
A walk on the promenade. The Seapoint Promenade is like my sanctuary. It, funny enough, calms all my anxiety. So it is just the one thing that I miss the most. Obviously my friends and my family, give my mom a hug. But I think if I could just smell that fresh sea air, oh, it would just, oh, that's what I've been dreaming about. So yeah, definitely a walk on the promenade and then go and give my parents a hug.
Oh, amazing. Well, hopefully you can do that soon. I'm so excited that we had this amazing chat today. Tell our audience where they can find you online, what you have to offer them, and how you can connect.
Sure. All right. So my main sort of platform is Instagram. So that is fitnessgirl_ZA. So you can find me there. I'm the same on Twitter. It's also fitnessgirl_ZA on Twitter. And then I have a Facebook page, which is Fitness Girl, all in capitals. It should pop up. And then I also have a blog, but I must admit, it is quite sad at the moment. I haven't updated it in quite some time. So hopefully we'll be doing a relaunch of that. But that's www.fitnessgirl.co.za. And that is pretty much it. That's where you can find me. All my contact details are on those sites as well. So if you need anything or you want to get in touch, you can contact me there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tracy. It was amazing to have you on today. And I wish you all the best for the rest of lockdown.
Thank you so much, Christina. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've enjoyed every minute. And I hope that your listeners have found this useful and insightful.
Thank you for listening to the Honest Hour podcast. I hope this recording inspired you to live in your honest truth. And I encourage you, if you enjoyed the episode, to subscribe and to rate the podcast. If you would like to connect with me online, I would love to hear from you. I'm on Instagram at The Honest Hour Podcast, and my website is christinamazarek.co.za. Thank you and have a beautiful day.